So as we prepare this Advent season for the coming of Jesus, how do we wait? What do we do? Beginning today, we're on this theme of love mercy and do justice. And as we do, we're journeying through this prophet Isaiah's message in 61, where he talks about this year of Jubilee. It's an idea in the Old Testament where restoration takes place in all of Israel. It was supposed to happen every 49 years, but it never did. And so the prophet speaks about this time when all things will be made right, when there will be this restoration and justice and mercy and compassion. These are themes that run through this idea of the year of Jubilee. So as we wait for Jesus and as we wait for his coming, we are to join our Messiah in the work of rebuilding and restoring and renewing through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we wait, we're pursuing Jesus, the Messiah, his priorities in our world. The prophet says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, this idea of this big tree planted, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And what this passage is talking about is that's a picture of us. That's who we are as we live into being God's people in the world and declare his reign. So as we look at the desired outcome for this season of Advent over the next 4 weeks, as a church, we would hope that these prophetic words would instill in us a faithful response to God that opens our heart and opens our head and opens our hands to loving mercy and doing justice in our world. So it begins with God's word. We see up here the passage that Bryson created. He's doing our artwork for the next 4 weeks as we step into this season. And we begin, just like he had to begin with this painting, someplace and somewhere to start, we begin our journey in God's word. So that's where it begins. But I want to give you a warning as we start. Mission texts are prophetic, and the prophets disturb us. So mission texts are these texts in the Bible that call us out to do the mission that God calls us to. They're called prophetic, and the prophets who bring these messages to us, they disturb us. So the men's group has been studying the minor prophets over the last couple months in men's group. And as they journey through those, would you say that the prophets disturb us? Is that fair to say? Yep. Joel agrees. And so those that are there, yep, they do disturb us. Why? Because they call us into a life that we're not always living and call our attention to things that sometimes we would rather not pay attention to. And so as we begin this journey, it starts with the proclamation or telling the good news. Good news to the poor. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim, to tell the good news to the poor. So we ask the simple question, what is the good news? And then secondly, who are the poor? Well, let's start with the second one. Who are the poor? Literally, it might describe those who are poor, who don't have resources that they need. So do you know who the poor are? Well, when we don't have money for resources to provide for our needs, that's what it means. And I want you to kind of follow me on this. I don't necessarily mean that, you know, you don't have enough money to get the new Samsung 7 or 8 when it comes out, or the iPhone 8. I mean, you might not, and I really feel for you. I mean, it's tough. I mean, that's poor, but that's not what the Bible's talking about here. The Bible is talking about really not having the resources. So do you have a roof over your head? Yes, probably. If you don't, come talk to me. Did you have breakfast this morning? Or did you have the chance to have breakfast this morning? It doesn't count if you just skipped it. All right, yes, okay. Did you have clean water to drink this morning? Okay, So we might consider ourselves not to be, in the affluent 1% or 2% or even 90%, but compared to most of the world, we have an abundance. Much of the world don't even have these basic things. So it's not only these poor that this Bible is talking about, good news to the poor, but it's also a word that speaks about the idea of piety as well as poverty. So what's piety? What does that mean? Well, here in this context, it's kind of what Jesus uses in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 when he talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. The way this is described is those who have a deep longing for things to be right. Do you know that longing? As we think about this, is there anything that you've noticed around you in the world that maybe just doesn't sit right with you? You know, it's not God's way of doing things. You see something taking place, and it might even get you upset. It might even get you angry about what's going on. You know, people are either being mistreated or abused or deprived of basic needs, and it's wrong. You know it, and you want it to change. Do you know anything like that? Well, then I would say you are the poor in spirit. So let me encourage you, if you're sensing these deep things that there's some wrong in the world, that God knows your heart. And God's desire is to rebuild, restore, and make things right. And so God may just be at work in your own life, in your own heart, bringing transformation that leads to liberation for those who are held in bondage, for the poor who need good news. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the Lord cares about what you care about? Do you believe it? Does the Lord want things to be right and good in the world? Yes? Well, if we do believe this, then things are truly about to change in the world. And change for God's glory and for neighbor's good. If we truly believe that God desires this as well, then things are about to change. Cecilia Williams, she's director of Love, Mercy, and Do Justice. She was at the Northwest Conference Ministerial Fall Retreat. And Cheryl and I got to be a part and listen to her teaching. She talked about this kind of longing in the heart and fulfillment that comes through Jesus Christ. And he came to bring, hear these words, soul liberation and life transformation. Doesn't that sound amazing? Soul liberation, life transformation. She calls it soul liberating life. And she used this song, I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves. It's this understanding and knowing God's deep love and care and compassion for his people that begins to work in our hearts. And I invite us to listen to Psalm 146 as it speaks about this soul liberating. The psalmist says, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. See, this is God's heart for the hurting and the left out and the lonely and the lost. Do you believe that? When we tap into God's heart, we begin to see the world with new eyes. So where have you seen brokenness in the world as a result of sin? Where is that evident to you? For me, I see it from time to time, but as I was working through this, The sin of greed and corruption became personal for me when I thought about the Democratic Republic of the Congo. See, the Congo is suffers under corruption from war and political instability, and it's had a severe detriment on the growth of the country for decades. And now it is rated at the lowest on the UN Human Development Index. Parents there struggle to provide basic necessities for their kids: food, clean water, education. You know, it's a desperate world, and it becomes personal for me and for us because we sponsor a child there. We're building a relationship with Lucy in the youth group and with Annie and Zula with the kids and with Shadrach that we saw his picture up here today and the other children that are sponsored through each of you. And so as we understand that the world is broken and it has a devastating effect on the Congo, that has a personal impact in our lives and in our relationship with people that live there. God cares today about soul liberation and life transformation in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. You know, these are real examples of the poor, of poverty, and God wants to bring life transformation, soul liberation to the very people who are experiencing these things. The prophet Isaiah speaks to us when he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." So what is the good news that we proclaim? You know, the love of Jesus, but the love of Jesus demonstrated when the proclamation of the good news finds a good witness in us, where we begin to not only speak it, but live it. When the poor find in us that real brokenness in God's people for things to be right. And when that brokenness takes root, it begins to result in a demonstration of God's power, God's grace, and God's love through each one of us. So can we help? Probably. How will we help? Getting involved is costly. Good answer. So we need both prophetic proclamation, the gospel as it says in Isaiah 52, "How beautiful are on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" That's good news. People want to hear that. But it's limited unless it also finds a consistent display of that good news so that people experience the outcome of the good news, which is described in Isaiah 2. "He will judge between the nations and settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." So we are a church called to good news. And God in Jesus Christ has come to save his people from their sins, but also he has come to undo the brokenness that sin causes in the world. And so we are here in this season of Christmas, and if we stop with the proclamation, then we are limiting ourselves to the outcomes that the Holy Spirit would accomplish through us by living into that proclamation. You know, we'd say this is a season of generosity and goodwill for Christmas, but I think as God's people, every day is the season of generosity and goodwill. There is no season to compassion and mercy and justice in our world. So we listen to the prophet's words, and I invite us to take a moment to consider the brokenness that you have seen in the world personally. Most likely, for some of us, for all of us, that brokenness comes very close to our own hearts. It might be our own brokenness today or someone very close to us. And our heart aches and breaks for what longs to be right. So we take hope and courage that we have a good Father, a Lord who today is with us. Emmanuel, he knows our pain, and he desires that things be made right. And he is at work even though we don't always see it, rebuilding and renewing and making right relationships and restoring lives. Isaiah says in 61, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soul makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. You know, we are not a people who are called to despair. Oh, the world is awful and terrible. It can be at times, but we are called to proclaim the good news and be the good news in a world and join God in his redeeming work right here, right now. And as those who personally have had our souls liberated by the good news and grace of God and had our lives transformed as we walk into that new life, we are called to a new role in this redemptive work that God is leading his people into. It's true, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us to proclaim good news to the poor. You know, this morning our Sunday school class began with a video session on love, mercy, do justice, and Joe and Katie are leading that, and looked like they were having a good time. I peeked in the window, by the way. And so I invite you to consider being part of that over the next 3 weeks and join in the conversation about how God is at work. So we ended this last series that we did on the books of the Bible with, in Revelation, we came to the end and we asked the question, now what? Well, again, now what is do what the scriptures teach, what they say. And that includes living into that deep longing in our hearts for things to be right. So let me ask you, how has the Lord been calling you to enter in and engage that deep longing in your own heart? How are you being called today, right now, to be a bearer of good news? Cecilia Williams, again, of Love, Mercy, and Do Justice, she talked about this intersect between evangelism, which is telling the gospel, the good news, and love, or compassion, mercy, and justice, which is demonstrating the good news through tangible actions. And she says this, mercy and compassion without the proclamation of the word is dangerous and devoid of God's power. Very true, but also the proclamation of the gospel without compassion and mercy and justice is mere words, and it's likely to alienate or condemn rather than save the ones we long to love. So it's both. We speak both life's transforming words and demonstrate the gospel of grace and love. So where does that deep longing right now match your deep desire to do something about making it right? Where is your heart being tugged? Where are you uncomfortable this morning? So that I say that's where God's at work in your life right now. And I would also say, hold on. This is good news because things are about to change. God is about to do something amazing in you and through you as you step into this calling. So why do we respond? Why? Because it's who we are. I like that you respond to these questions. I appreciate that. So when I maybe talked a little bit about this, but when Cheryl and I were considering sponsoring a child in the Congo, it was a long time we talked about it, but never really got around to doing it. And you know, it's $40 a month, so it's $1.33 a day. And, you know, as we thought about it, it's like, it's doable, but I also could do something else, and so just never did it. But then when you think about splitting it down, you know, if it's too much, then we could split it with someone, and it would be 66 cents a day. And, you know, that makes it a little more palatable, but still, you know, if we got four people, it would be 33 cents a day to help, you know, a desperate child in need, 33 cents a day. So let me share this another way. When I stand before Jesus, like we all will one day, and he reminds us in his word. He says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. And I began to tell Jesus why I did not spend 33 cents on a child who was in desperate need. What will I say? What can I say? What can we say before the Lord? I didn't know. I didn't have the money. I didn't think I needed to get involved. But I do want to say that you, Bethlehem Covenant Church, have gotten involved. And you have displayed love and compassion and mercy to those who are in deep need. You have demonstrated over and over a willingness to sacrifice on your part, to share of your resources, to share of your time, to make an impact, to make a difference, to be the good news of the gospel in our world. You know, there's a passage in Romans 13 that's traditional for this season, and it's the apostle calling the church to wake up because the time is near. Jesus is coming. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So we're to respond now. You and I are the light of the world. We're called to be the light, however God has equipped us. And as Bryson has helped us in preparing for this season and this journey, we start somewhere and we begin that process of building. And we begin by asking the right questions. If we follow Jesus, what are we to do with the very acute and very real needs of others? And I'll be honest, I'm not always sure. I really don't know what to do with the very real and acute needs of others that come upon us time and time and time again. But the answer to this question is this. We ask, Lord, what would you have me do? You know, this is God's work. We have to remember that you and I are powerless to save. You and I are not the Savior. We have one. We know who it is. It's Jesus. But we are called to a part in that work. You know, it's not my intention to guilt anyone here today. I don't know, am I doing a good job? That's not at all what the point is. The idea here is to really help us to live into who God has called us to be as those who proclaim the good news to the poor. You know, our love for God must be displayed in our love for our neighbors around us and around the world. And during this series, my hope is that the Spirit of the Lord is going to continue to move and work on our hearts this season to reveal how God is calling us out, where God is calling us to be the good news in our world. And again, you have been doing this here at Bethlehem Covenant Church. But I believe God is just getting started with us. I believe this is just the beginning to how and where God would call us to be his light in the world. You know, the late Reverend Willie Jemison, he said this with respect to the progress that was taking place in the denomination of the Covenant Church, and I think this is for each of our churches. He said, we're doing good, but we could do better. So I believe the Holy Spirit wants to show us in what ways can we do better. So our next step in proclaiming the good news to the poor is to hear the words of Jesus. Quoted from Isaiah 9:2, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Emmanuel, God with us. So I'm asking each of you during this next 4 weeks in this season to commit yourselves to prayer, to praying and asking God, how would you have us to walk into this season, to walk into this ministry and mission of loving mercy and doing justice for the display of God's splendor? And as we do that, to have our ears open to what the Holy Spirit would reveal to us and show us as individuals, but also as a church. Where are you calling us, God, to make an impact in your world, to proclaim good news to the poor? So I'm inviting you, if you can, right now to respond. Will you pray this season over the next 4 weeks? Yes. And will you ask the Holy Spirit how he wants you to engage and how he wants the church to engage in bringing the good news? Will you do that? Yes. And then, this is the tough one. This is it. Will you commit your life and the life of our church to doing whatever God reveals? Yes. Isaiah says, "The Lord has announced a message from one end of the earth to the other. He has said, tell the people of Zion, look, your Savior is coming. He is bringing his people back as his reward. He has won the battle over their enemies. They will be called the holy people. The Lord will set them free." Jesus is coming. Believe the good news and demonstrate it. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are calling us out as your people, not only to receive the good news, but to tell it and live it out in our neighborhoods and in our communities and in our nation and in the world. And Lord, as we do, give us great courage to take the steps that you call us to ask the deep questions that are tugging at our heart, Lord. How would you have me respond? Why, Lord, do I hate this injustice, this brokenness in the world? And Lord, as we hear as we hear the Holy Spirit respond to us, help us to be faithful to being the good news in our world. And Lord, that you may be exalted. As we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.